Guess we can get started. September 10th, 2022, meeting of the board.
Why don't you introduce everybody?
So that's too much work. Why don't you introduce everybody? Bill, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, my name is Bill Guerin. I've been living up here since 78 on and off. When we came up, we only had 7 mailboxes out there. So the canyon has grown a whole bunch. In my time on the board and everything else, I've been working on roads as much as possible. Since 98, I've probably been worked every year on roads, and I just do the best I can. When we have the road report, I'd like to fill you in on what I've found out about the asphalt roads and why we got the grader.
Right. Then we have Bob and Rita. Rita's longtime board member.
Yeah.
I'm Rita Phillips.
And Pat.
Pat Burley.
Yep.
Been on the board forever also.
Yeah, me too.
I remember.
Would anybody like to adopt our agenda?
Well, yes, I'll adopt the agenda. Any second?
I second that.
So that's Michael, David, Roger, by the way. Yeah. We want that.
I'm hoping you introduce the board.
Yeah.
What, you want me to introduce everybody?
Yeah.
Every meeting, because it changes every meeting, doesn't it?
This is a new board, so
we have, you know. We have Michael Ochoa, David Payne, and Ms. Roger Smith. All right, we have a motion second on the agenda. Anybody opposed? Okay. We have any public comments for non-agenda items? All right. Then we have several sets of minutes to approve since we haven't been able to get them done at any of the meetings recently. We have minutes from 7-9, 8-13, and then our workshop on 8-27. Would anybody like them read, or does anybody want to make a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve. I second that.
Any opposed? Okay. Any reports of officers or directors? Is there anything anybody on the board wants to report on?
Yeah, I heard from Marcy. She apologizes for not being here today. She had an accident and she's got a minor concussion.
Oh, wow.
But what she has done, she's requested reserve study proposals and she's waiting for the responses.
Okay.
So that's all in motion. I think she's going for 3 proposals.
And for anybody in the audience, what we've done is Marcella, what's her last name?
Hovenden.
Hovenden?
Yeah.
Okay. She had recommended strongly that we get a reserve study done, and we all concurred. And she is working on getting some requests for proposals to have a professional company do a reserve study for us. Okay. If there's nothing else to report, then that gets us to discussion and possible action on appointing officers. We need to appoint the officers for the board. We need a president, treasurer, and secretary. So, we need volunteers to do these different tasks.
Could I nominate Michael as president?
Yeah. As long as he's willing to do it. I can give you a quick rundown, too, on basically what each of the jobs entails. It's pretty simple. The president is responsible for setting the agenda for meetings.
I'm assuming you have templates, kind of.
Yeah, and you know, the president doesn't actually have to make the, doesn't have to print them or anything. That's actually the secretary's task, but it's up to the president to decide what goes on the agendas.
So don't be the president and the secretary, is what you're telling me.
Can't.
Okay, awesome.
Secretary and treasurer could be one person. President cannot be shared with any other officer's position. So that's part of corporate code. But basically, the president presides over the meetings, takes care of any day-to-day issues, signs paperwork. It basically is the voice of the board. That's the primary responsibilities of the president. The secretary is responsible for maintaining the list of members, putting out the agendas and the minutes. Hey, Izzy. And then out of those things, you know, a lot of that gets delegated to the management company. And then the treasurer is responsible for the financial reports, maintaining the accounts, all that stuff, and most of that gets given to the management company as well. It's just the treasurer and the secretary oversee those things to make sure that they're done. And primarily they'll be working with Richard Monson at the management company to make sure those things happen.
And then transition period within this month, because you're not going to be here the following meeting, or you will be?
I probably will still be here.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just depends on actually.
Would you like to transition a role before that?
Well, we need to start getting the transition done, yeah. October 8th, yeah, I should.
All right.
I may still be here the 8th.
All right. I'm able to volunteer for that, and then, I mean, of course, we're going to have someone else volunteer for the.
We need a secretary and a treasurer as well. And then
my problem is what I've been saying all along. I'm so busy. I mean, I should be at a meeting in South Central LA at the moment. I should have been at a rehearsal in Burbank yesterday. I'm not going to be out from under until May.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And
yeah, the responsibilities of the job can't be fulfilled by you in the moment.
Yeah.
Well, and what may
have more free time available after May, but you know,
what may be a good fit is treasurer, because treasurer basically all that gets delegated to the management company. The treasurer's main job is to get the reports from the management company and present them at the board meeting.
Okay. And if I'm pretty straightforward, I mean, with telling him what he needs to do.
Yeah, it is a cooperative thing. Everybody works together.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just that we have to designate who that responsible person is. Just like the secretary, one of the things the secretary is going to have to do is have Mr. Monson update the Secretary of State with who our officers are and who our board members are. Since that's all changed, then an update has to go to the Secretary of State.
First job, secretary.
That's one of the first jobs that he's done, is to get that updated. And again, Mr. Monson will take care of it. We just have to let him know that it's
just
done.
Initiating a phone call.
Exactly. That's all it is.
If you'd like to nominate me for treasurer, then that's fine.
Let's just say, you know, he gets busy. Am I able to do some of the?
Oh yeah.
To do some of the tasks for him, just to make sure that things get done.
Yeah, it's just that. You'll be the contact person if somebody wants to know about financials.
Fine.
And then you turn it over to Mr. Monson. And Richard, would you like to be secretary?
Roger.
I'm sorry.
Not really.
That's probably the toughest job, because somebody has to take and compose minutes of the meeting.
I think we ought to get a volunteer.
And we could actually talk, I haven't done it, but we could actually talk to Mr. Monson. I record the meetings, and we can easily send that recording to him, and he can transcribe and create minutes.
Would you feel more comfortable being president? Okay, I'm just asking, because if you're saying secretary is more difficult, I'm willing to take the difficult one. It's, you know.
But again, as secretary, if you want to delegate this stuff to Mr. Monson, he is capable of doing it. And what we would simply do is
charge us out.
Record. No, it's a flat fee. We pay $5,000 a year. I mean, if it gets to where it's more work for him than what the $5,000 covers, then he'll want more money. But still, that's just a flat fee.
Okay. Anyone else want to volunteer? No. I'm just asking.
We need a board member to be the secretary.
A board member.
That's why we need two more board members.
That's exactly. Yep. But again, if you want to do it even just temporarily, it's to delegate somebody with the Secretary of State that is secretary so they know who to contact, and then you're just going to have them contact Mr. Munson.
You could do both roles though, right, too, as well.
Yep.
I mean, I know that's a lot of work.
I mean, the hardest part would be taking the recording, putting it on a computer, and emailing it to Mr. Munson. That's the hardest part of being a secretary.
Can the president take that? Can he delegate that task to the president?
Anybody can do it.
Okay.
You want to do both for the time being?
Either I'll do both and the new president, or vice versa, because that's the way. Yeah.
It's just a name. You all work together.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you're not off the hook.
The problem is he is most of the time. You can't reach him because he's way up in the damn mountains.
Yeah. Well, that's another good thing. We have a phone, this association phone number, and it sends you messages by email. So it's not that you have to answer the phone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And we'll get everybody set up with that. So I would take that we have a motion for Michael to be president.
Yeah.
And David to take secretary treasurer.
Oh, we've suddenly, I thought I was just coming
well,
in as treasurer.
Yeah. Well, we'll share it with you. Yeah, well, that's the thing. The president can't technically be.
And you can, no, can't technically hold those positions. And then you can change them anytime.
Yeah, if anyone wants to volunteer, right.
All it takes is put them on the agenda, and then at the meeting, make a motion. That's all it takes to change them.
It's a shame we're not closer to the coast because press scanning seems to come to mind.
Okay, so I'm going to put this down as David made the motion. Since he started it.
I'll second.
You're seconded it. Anybody opposed? Okay. Now it's up to you, Michael, if you want to take over as president for the meeting or if you want me to continue it.
I'd say just continue it and then push roles.
And for today, I'll continue to be the secretary pro tem, and we'll, after the meeting, then I'll turn it all over to you.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay. That gets us to discussion and review of monthly financial reports, possible action to approve payments and expenditures. And again, this would be what the treasurer would do. Would be simply to go through the financials with the board so that the board has an opportunity to review them. A lot of these things are required to be reviewed quarterly by state law. The latest one that we have is from July. Mr. Munson didn't do us one for August, and it's too early in September. And this happens a lot with our meetings, especially like this month. You know, it's the 10th, and we're at the second Saturday already. Next month, it's the 8th, so it's even earlier. Our bank statements don't get here until about the 8th. So there's no way that the financials can be prepared for that meeting. What we have, so we're usually a month behind on financials. And like I said, they don't have to be done monthly anyway. They do need to be done quarterly. So at least every 3 months, you have to review them. But July's, we have a balance sheet, which basically just proves that our accounts balance. We've got assets, liabilities, and the assets and the equity needs to match. That just shows that it's a double entry system. Statement of income and expenses gives you a little bit more information because it shows how much money has come in for the year or the month, depending on how he's producing these. This one is for the year. It's going July 21 to July of 2022. So this is for the entire year. And for the entire last year, we had $37,180 in income. And the majority of that was from dues. There was a $350 from escrow for property transfer fees. And then expenses, I'm not sure what the 784 is for. I would have to go back and look, and this would be one of the things that the secretary would want to go through these before the board meeting, and that way you could ask questions of Mr. Monson, so you'll have some notes to explain these things. So I'm not sure what the 784 is. I'd have to go back and find out what the why he put those in that particular category. We have property taxes of $87 that went to Kern County, bank charges of $480. Then we have lien fees of $30 that were paid. Credit card fees, what he's got here for Intuit, that's credit card fees. When people pay their dues by credit card, we pay the credit card fee. Then we have accounting and financial management services. There's $5,050. Election services was $1,500. Legal fees to the lawyer, $1,284. Notary fees. Let's see. And then we get down facilities expenses. We had some more property tax. He's got it in two different places. Probably need to have him combine it into one spot. And then rent, which is what was paid for the use of this building, was $150. And then let's see, vehicles and equipment, maintenance and repair. I would have to question him on that, what that was for. That was probably for fuel for the grader or something for along those lines, but I don't know offhand. Let's see. Postage, $60. Certified mail, we had $100 worth of. Insurance, $56.98. Office supplies, $1,034. Telephone, $58.30. Travel and meeting expenses, $371. That's something we probably should ask him for a breakdown. I mean, a lot of this stuff he'll be happy to break down. It's just if we put it all in financial reports, the financial report gets even longer than it is. It's already 34 pages, which adds to our printing costs, too, to print them all out. Now, let's see. So our total expenses were $16,875, so for the year, we netted $20,305, which is why we have money in the bank. Then we have the check register, which shows everything that went, all the checks that were written, deposits that have come in.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do we get our names taken off the register? Providing the checks?
That's coming up next.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to be responsible. No.
Let's see, and after we get, there's several pages of these cash receipts, which is all the bill, or all the payments for assessments from last year. And then there's an account summary. This is required by law of where everybody's accounts are, if they're paid up or if they're owed back assessments. That has to be done quarterly, which is dumb. It doesn't change much. Then there's a bank statement in here back from July 1st on this one. July 1st, Wells Fargo had $15,000. Our Union Bank savings account had $26,000, and our Union Bank checking account had $4,800. So we had, what would that be, $45,000. Yep. And then I threw in the latest statements that have come this month, which pretty much is about the same. We've got $4,700 in the checking account, $26,000 in the savings, and $15,000 in the Wells Fargo. So we've got about $45,000 to work with. And Mr. Monson hasn't gotten them out yet, or at least I haven't seen any yet, but the assessments are going to be coming due in November, and he needs to be getting the invoices out to everybody right now so that people can get them paid, which will bring us in another $20,000 for the year, for this coming year. So you're going to have about $65,000. Of course, we're going to have some bills coming due because the insurance is going to be coming due. Yep. But yeah, this board is going to have a whole lot more to work with than what the last board had when they came in.
Yeah.
what was it when we came in?
$700.
Yeah, is what was in the bank to work with.
To start out.
So yeah, you're in a much, much better position this time. Plus, you've got assets that didn't exist before, too, the greater.
Yeah.
You know, that we so yeah, in the last board's tenure, besides going from $8,700 to, you know, $45,000, they also acquired a $45,000 grader. So there's a lot more now than there used to be. There's actually something to show for things. Okay. But anyway, that's pretty much the financials. I really don't think that we need to, well, I guess we could just do a motion to approve all the past expenditures. That would probably be the easiest way to deal with that. If you want to go through them one by one, we can, but it's pretty much a whole year's worth, so. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve the payments?
Yeah, motion to approve. I second it.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. That gets us to resolution 2022-001, a resolution of the Board of Directors of Mountain Valley Association designating signatories for all Mountain Valley Association bank accounts. And there's a copy of the resolution. It's the last two pages. And I found that when you're working with a bank, the resolution is the simplest. You can do it with just the minutes, but then you have to wait till the next meeting so that the minutes are approved so that you have a signed copy of them to take to the bank. The resolution can be signed at the end of our meeting, and you have a piece of paper you can take to the bank to show who's supposed to sign for the for checks and everything else with the banks. And since we don't have that many people on the board, checks have to be signed by at least two people, and what we've done is made it any two directors can sign the checks. So it's in everybody's best interest to put every director on that they can, and then that way you just have to find two people to sign. But right now, I'm the last signatory that's still on the board. The others are no longer on the board. So right now, we can't even write a check because we don't have two people to sign.
So the three of us need to sign this.
We sign this and then take the minutes with this.
We don't need the minutes, you just need the resolution.
Okay. But we seem to have a number of banks rather than just one central bank.
We have three accounts. Two are at Union Bank, which is because Union Bank used to be in Tatchby, and the other one is at Wells Fargo, and the branch that it's actually at is in Laverne, which is where Mr. Monson is. And that was because that way he could make the deposits when all the checks come into him now instead of us. So that's our main checking account at this point. We never closed the Union Bank. For one, we like to have the reserve account separated, you know, which it's supposed to be. That way you've got your money in the bank for emergencies. And in fact, right now we should actually take money from the Wells Fargo account and move into that reserve account. What we used to do, I think it was about $5,000, I think it was, we used to keep in the checking account.
Yes.
And everything else, we would, after the insurance was paid, because that's our one big bill, we just leave $5,000 in the checking account, and everything else we moved into the reserve account. Then as we spent money for roads or whatever, then we'd just take it out of the reserve, put it into the checking account to cover it. But that way we have that reserve account set aside. It doesn't really make a lot of difference because it's not like you're making a lot of interest on it. But at least it's a savings account, so there's some interest,
yeah.
A few pennies a year.
More than a check.
Yeah.
So is there anything we need to do now?
We need to decide who is going to be the signers. My recommendation would be the three of you at the moment until you get more people. And I'll have to rewrite this just a little bit because what I put in here was all four officers, which we can't fill all four at the moment. In fact, we've only got two officers. So what I would change these to is all of these to director with everybody's name after them.
Gotcha.
Cool. And that way we can put three of them in there for now to get us started.
And so you'll make a red line or pencil scratch out, and then we'll just sign that copy?
Right. Well, we'll need the president to sign, and then the secretary to sign after I print up a new one.
Gotcha.
So I'll just get it to you guys. Yeah. And then what you have to do is arrange to go to the bank. I have our secretary here at the Water District was checking with the Union Bank because we've got to change signatories as well on our accounts, to see if we could go down there one at a time now. When we did it last time, they wanted everybody there at the same time. They were a pain in the neck. Then we had the same problem with Wells Fargo. We had to all of us go to Wells Fargo in Laverne and sign the signature card. So it may be that you guys will have to make a trip to Laverne to sign the signature card. I think, though, Wells Fargo, because the signature card's there, at the worst, it should be go to Palmdale to Wells Fargo and sign the signature card.
Cool.
Unfortunately, here in Tatchby, it's just a kiosk, so you can't do it there. But Palmdale has a branch where we should be able to do the signature card.
All right.
And that's where Union Bank is at the moment?
Union Bank does have a branch in Palmdale that we could use as well. Yep, so you could make it in one trip, actually. Do Wells Fargo and Union Bank at the same time. But anyway, we'll get this done if anybody wants to make a motion to approve it with the three board members' names on it. There's no reason to add mine to it. I'm already on it first off, so you probably need to remove me because eventually I'm not going to be here anyway. So while you're doing this...
We'll do that in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, and then hopefully we can find a couple more board members so you can get some more people on there.
Yeah. All right, so I'll make a motion to approve that.
And I'll second.
Any opposed? Okay, so, and I'll finish up the resolution and send it to you so that everybody can sign it and take it to the bank. And then the next item of business is discussion and possible action to solicit RFPs, which Marcy's doing, so we'll this one we'll just carry over to the next meeting.
I'd like ask a question about this. Do we know exactly what the reserve study is and what they do?
Basically, by law, they have to make a trip out here to look at everything, look at our assets, which is our dirt roads and a couple of vacant lots. And then they have to give a 30-year plan for the maintenance of those assets.
Do they look at the culverts and the signs? And,
I'm sure that they will, and we need to ask them to because that's part of our assets.
Exactly what we want them to do.
So that is something that's missing from the reserve study that I did, is I didn't put any culverts in. I just kept that. That was just, as far as I was concerned, part of the road.
It's a road map of where the culverts are.
They probably can, but you're going to pay more for that.
They're the ones looking at the roads.
Yeah. And they'll probably charge more for doing that because they're going to have to make that map. But again, that's stuff that you need. Yes. And that's probably a very good thing because I don't think any of our maps designate where culverts are located.
Right.
So that would probably be something.
And I'd hate to try and do it myself and miss something, you know?
Yeah. It would not be a bad thing is to get those added in. And same thing, like stop signs should be added as well. We do have some maps that were brought. I found some old maps and gave them to Rita, and she brought them back. We have some maps from when the track maps were made.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so some of the original maps. And those maps we need to see about getting scanned full size and then getting copies made so that everybody can have access, because then that's easy. You can go out and do stop signs, just put an X on the map, you know.
Yeah.
So now, we need a surveyor, if we do need a surveyor. Do we have one on hand? Or?
Not that we've used, no.
Would it be through this Munson? Would he
get a survey, a land surveyor?
Pardon me?
A land surveyor?
Yes.
Like to do the boundary lines?
Yeah, if they need to do something, we need to do something about.
I mean, you just got to find somebody. I mean, there's a couple people.
Yeah, there's a few here in town still. When we get to the roads and stuff, we'll pull these maps out and I'll show you some of the things. We've had some disputes over where roads were, and most of them are pretty well marked in this tract. And the only thing is you have to have a shovel to get to the marks. But they're pretty well marked, and you can go out there and show people, no, here's where the marker is, this is where the road is.
That's a surveying brass point.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go over that here in a minute. Yep. Is that something good? Since we've got the maps, we could do that.
Because I went to county records, and they told me I lived on Philly Lane, and I live on Cutting Way. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, you'll learn Kern County most of the time doesn't know what they're talking about.
I figured that out real quick, Randy. Mm-hmm. I said, well,
yep.
See what they say next time.
Yeah. Okay, well, that does get us to discussion and possible action on road repairs, street signs, equipment purchases, and other maintenance needs.
Okay, so we're going over
what we're
talking to Marcy about, right?
Well, yeah, she's getting that.
Well, she's going to work on the RFP.
She's getting the companies that do these.
We'll consult with them.
Yeah, and then we'll tell them.
Do we want to all put a list together of the things that we want to cover?
Yeah.
To request for them?
That would be a good idea, yes.
But this is the original recording,
or a copy of it anyway. And the first page just describes everything, and it's also what says that the association has to be here to take care of the roads and what the association is responsible for. Also drainage easements, all that. When you get to the third page, it actually starts getting to some of the roads. And let's see if I can find it on this map. Yes. At most of the intersection points and curves, they actually set markers. Mm-hmm. And they're usually about a foot or so deep. Then they're a brass tag in concrete buried in the middle of the road. So those markers are out there.
We located all the ones on Orchard Lane.
Yeah, because that's where our dispute was, and we actually went up there and dug them up. And they're shown on here. It actually shows the different marker points. And basically it's wherever a change in direction is. If a road curves, there's a marker at the start of that curve and at the end of that curve. And at intersections, there's one in the middle. But that way, it's not too likely you'll ever need a surveyor, because you can uncover that marker and then you can take a tape measure that tells you the road width, so you can go to either side and that's your road.
Okay.
Yeah. And what you'll find over the years is that these roads are not necessarily where they belong. A lot of people's fences aren't where they belong. And someday some of that stuff will have to be addressed. My thoughts on it were, if it's not a problem, don't make it a problem. But if it becomes a problem, then you have to.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that is a bit of a problem is the state law says that no single member can use association property to their own benefit. So if they put a fence that does stick out into the road, technically now they're using the association's property to their own benefit. So it's a little bit of a issue, but it's not enough to make it a
problem.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that if we notice it, then we should send them a letter stating that, you're encroaching on the association's property. Please remove your encroachment.
Yeah. Maybe we're going to put a sign right there or something.
Or just to let them know. That way they've been notified.
Okay.
Yeah. This is something that you need to think about is what you want to do with the roads, what you want to try and get done since you do have some money in the bank. Obviously, I wouldn't spend it all in one place, but it's, we're coming into fall. it's a good time to think about doing a little bit of road maintenance now the weather's a little more conducive.
Now, get ready
for winter.
When you say road maintenance, do we have somebody that will actually be using the grader? That one of us, or
we have to find somebody?
Well, I think we should look for somebody and send them to some formal training. So it's for safety purposes and all expertise work. Let's have them trained right.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you'll find training out here. In Louisiana, it's in the newspaper every week. They've got a college back there that does it. I'm sure somebody does here. I just don't know who or where.
We'll send Michael to Louisiana.
Being California, being California, I'm sure most of it's done through the unions.
Yeah, and that's where they get their training through unions and the guys that get their journeyman experience and then crank out, or the guys that have around here, the guys that have their own dirt bike shops or their dirt bike, and they're professionals and they have their own graders and stuff like that. So I see that.
But
there's a couple people that I've used, but yeah, it's like $400 to get them out here. Just for him to show up, and then, like $200 an hour for him to use his stuff. So I don't know what he.
Yeah, it's expensive. Now there is one person out here that had expressed interest in operating the grader for the district, and that's Mike Bigley. He works for State Parks, and he's an equipment operator for them. He also usually every year he works for Mountain Meadows CSD, which is over on Highline. Operating a grader for them when they do their roads. So the board would have to work with him if they wanted to talk to him about something. Now, he's not a contractor, so to use him, you would have to hire him as an employee. So you'd have to get workers' comp, et cetera. Or you could do him as a contractor, even though he's not a licensed contractor, but then that gets you into some issues because you're still going to have to 1099 him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
What is his name again?
Mike Bigley.
B-I-G-L-A-Y.
Yep. And we had also discussed about the possibility of possibly. I've never discussed it with Mountain Meadows, but they usually rent a grader. They may be willing to do something where they would rent this grader, and he could operate it for them because it's close enough. It's a long ways to road it, but it's close enough to road it rather than transport it. That might save them some money, give the association a little bit of income to offset the expenses of the thing, and have somebody that can operate for both. Somebody that you get familiar with it and operate. So it's something to think about and something that you might want to talk to Mountain Meadows and to Mike about. Share some assets and But those are for this year. I know that we've talked a few times now about the culverts. It probably would be a good thing for the board to go out and locate all the culverts, even if it's just a matter of marking an X on the maps, at least where they are, and to look at them and make sure they're not blocked or anything, and decide if we need to get somebody out here to clean them, or if it's minor stuff that we could get a volunteer crew to do or something like that. But it might be, considering nobody's looked at the culverts in I don't know how long, it might be something where we need to rent a vacuum truck and have somebody come up here and actually clean them out. So, which could get expensive, but a plugged up culvert can get more expensive when it tears up the road. So, being that we're coming into that time of year, it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to go out and look at. Supposed to have another third El Nino winter, so chances are we're not going to get that much rain or anything, though. But again, it's something that we need to look at and see if that's what needs to be done, and also be a good time to look at street signs.
I wonder if this says anything about culverts.
I didn't see anything, but it does show the drainage easements, and so you could get, pretty much bet that at each drainage easement there's going to be a culvert, because there's going to be a channel going to the road. And it does show those drainage easements, so that's a good place to start.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But basically, you just need to drive the roads, and wherever you run across the culvert.
You're going to have this copy, or what? Can we have this copy so I can get some done?
Yep. And electronically, I've got the version from the county, which is the same thing.
Okay.
And I'm sure it could be printed off on the same size material.
Oh, you can send it to David, please?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
I can actually, the maps are on our website, too. If you go to the website, they're on there.
Oh, hey. That's
so you can print them right from the website.
It's just easier for me to look at something like this. I'm looking at a computer screen. I got to move over this way. It's not right here.
There is a printer here that the association bought, or actually I bought and donated to the association. Those were high-dollar, $40 printers. And there's a laptop that belongs to the association.
I think there's two.
Yeah, there's a second one. I think it's in the other box.
I think there's two right there.
Oh, is there? Both of them are right there? Okay.
One's silver and one's purple.
Oh, well, there should be two of the purple ones. I think the other one was from
Joan
had, and I think it's in the box that I've got. Yeah. So we've got a few laptops, and so you guys can, if you need something to put this stuff on.
I'm not going to guarantee that printer.
Yeah, it's been sitting for a while, and it was a high-dollar, $40 printer, so, yeah.
Now it's for baby.
There was talk a couple of meetings ago about we had applied for grants at some point.
Yeah, and Bill's pretty familiar with that stuff. Bill, you want to tell him kind of about the grants that were gotten in the past for roads?
In 1978, when I first came up here, from the mailboxes, everything was dirt. Mm. People had a hard time getting up Sunview and a few other roads. It was pretty difficult. In 1981 came the big flood, and Sand Canyon was wiped out in two spots. Horseshoe Lane, I know, was wiped out. I'm sure there was damage done elsewhere. On the financials, you notice we have $26,000 in our reserve. That reserve was in order to do major repairs when we suffered huge storm damage. We used to get a lot of rain up here. We do not get it anymore. The roads were maintained by a resident who lived up here and had a grader. We'd pay him $5,000. He'd grade every road. It was fine. Nowadays, when we get a quote for grading the dirt roads, we're running $20,000 a quote just to grade the dirt roads. Hence, Randy came up with the idea we buy our own grader, because you grade twice, you made your money. So I'd really like to see that grader kept. In about the year 2000, we put in some concrete washes up and down Sand Canyon, which in the following years we have improved upon. Also after 2000, two gentlemen, Jeff Drought and John Carrasco, went to the AQMD, Air Quality Management District, and they got a grant to put an asphalt road down. The only requirements for the road was there was 10 residents on the road. In the following years, they did Sand Canyon and Project One. They did Sunview and Pasture and Project Two. And they did Horseshoe Lane and Project Three. The only road that qualifies now is probably Morgan Lane. I couldn't understand how they got it done so cheap. Air Quality Management will approve up to $50,000, and you have to pay 10% of that amount or everything above in order to get the work done. When the roads were put in, they found a contractor who used recycled roofing shingles. So every road that we have here is made up of roofing shingles. That's why the roads on a hill do really good, and the roads on the flat are getting tore up. It was a good idea, saved us a lot of money, and really improved everything. If you went up Sunview in a bad wind today, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, they've been plugging away, and then the asphalt roads were maintained by a volunteer road crew. I used to call it the Geritol Brigade, because everybody was at least over 60, and it was really heavy work. We would buy bags of asphalt at Home Depot, and every day, once a week during summer, that crew would go out, and for 2 hours they would patch as many holes as they could. This was done for about 6 to 8 years. Rita was one of the leaders of the crew and one of the hard workers on the crew. It was just too much really for everybody. Unfortunately, two members died. That the end of the crew. Anyway, we are still trying to do repairs, and I've called over 20 asphalt contractors all the way from Palmdale to Bakersfield, and everybody that I could find I called. Of those 20 contractors, 3 responded, and only 2 ever came up here. One was Birch, and the second one was Blackstone. We put a treatment on Sand Canyon 1 year at a cost of $10,000. And all they did was lay a spray on the road and then cover it with sand. I got a lot of complaints because they didn't see any improvements. All it was a treatment to try and maintain the asphalt. The best method I've seen for repairing potholes was shown to me by Randy this year. He took some cold patch that we had, he dumped it on the road, he took his tractor, drove it in, flattened it, scraped up the loose stuff, and moved on again. That would be the way I would see it repaired. Blackstone Asphalt quoted me $40,000 to repave from the campground to the mailboxes, or as far as 20,000 tons would go. They quoted me $40,000 when the price of gas was $2.50. So I would assume right now if I called them back up, the quote would be $70,000 to $80,000 to get that work done. It's no cheap solutions. There isn't one available, but we're still looking, trying to figure out how to repair the asphalt road. You can't rely on the volunteer maintenance crew anymore. Everybody's over 70. and it just doesn't work with all the old people. We do have two gentlemen that work on the maintenance group, Liam and John, and they're excellent workers. We have cut down trees, dead trees, that were might be a problem in the road. And whenever we cut down the dead trees, we cut the wood up for firewood, and we delivered it to the senior residents in the neighborhood, who were extremely, extremely grateful. So we were doing that for quite a while. We ran out of people, didn't have enough money. We can't maintain anything. The best thing was buying the grader. You cannot operate the grader unless there is water on the roads. No rain, no operation. If we go out there, there will be some resident that will call AQMD and turn us in. So we tried to do it correctly. We've just been plugging away. We put up stop signs. We haven't finished putting up all the stop signs that were approved. And that was where we have three-way intersections or a cross intersection. If two cars collide at that intersection, they're going to come off of the board because there was no signs. Hence, we're trying to put up the signs. If you notice up on Sunview, the three-way stop on Pasture, stop signs, trying to tell people, hey, don't run the stop sign. It hasn't slowed anybody down. They still drive like they used to. So, but best we can do is cut down our liability. So anyway.
The problem English drivers.
Wrong side of the road, you see.
Hey, I came down the road and he was on the wrong side of the road.
I was trying to stop you.
We've had some good arguments amongst residents who would both run the stop sign and scream at each other. So anyway, the volunteer repair and maintenance crew, that's really gone down because, like I said, old age, it just doesn't work anymore.
Well, we got some young bucks.
So, I was about to say, I think Roger might be able to encourage a few people.
Yeah, I can encourage some people. Yeah.
We are required per the... We are required by the rule book to maintain the access road to our tract. Various boards have argued over that and said, we don't own the property, we don't fix the road, and other boards have abided by the rule book and said we need to maintain the access. Every board that I was on, that was a priority because every person who lives up here drives that road. If that road goes to hell, yeah, our cars will go to hell. So we need to maintain the access roads and all the roads throughout the tract. It takes money, it takes work, and we, you know, still don't have solutions to all these problems.
Well, I have a statement I'd like to make. I think that the reserve study should tell us how to do the repair on the paved roads. It appears to me cold patch is not working. That's my own opinion.
The what now?
The cold patch method.
It actually works pretty well.
The only cold patch we have.
From what I've seen, there just seems to be a lot more. We've always had potholes up here. And, you know, we've been fighting for years. And maybe these the reserve people have a better method.
The cold patch actually stays. It's next to the cold patch where the
road falls apart. Maybe they have a method. So, you know, it's all sealed better or something.
No, an asphalt shingle road base did not hold up as well as what asphalt does.
Oh, shingle? Oh.
Yeah, this is ground up shingles.
That's the ground up stuff, right?
Yeah, this is all ground up shingles instead of new asphalt.
So the cold patch works.
When we were
around the cold patch.
And the other problem that you have is this main section here of Sand Canyon. This is this whole area through here is filled with groundwater.
Yeah.
So the water comes up under the road and it falls apart.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you're going to do about that. Every kind of road you're going to put down is going to have
a problem. Let's bring it up to their knowledge and let them be aware.
But do you think you can get a couple more volunteers in so we can start the volunteer brigade again?
Yes.
The potholes that were repaired by the volunteer crew. We would go there, we'd clean out the pothole, blow it out.
Yeah.
We put down Henry's to seal the hole. We'd put the asphalt in, we'd hit it with a torch, and we'd pack it down.
Yeah.
I defy anybody to find a patch that we did that doesn't work. But you can only do so many in a few hours using that method.
Now, one of the recommendations that I received from Bowman Asphalt, which is they're the same company that did Umtali Road for Kern County, Bowman Asphalt. They recommended the condition of this road not to put asphalt down. They recommended putting 2 inches of cold patch over the entire road. The thing, to put asphalt down, you have to have a smooth base to put it on because the asphalt's going to follow whatever's there. The cold patch, you can grade and compact and make it level again. So that's what their recommendation was to put cold patch over the entire thing and roll it. And that would give us a smooth road that would last a while. And in fact, if we could afford the asphalt over that in the future, you've got a flat base to work with. Although I suspect that, especially in these lower areas here, it's going to fail again because of the groundwater.
Since it's a problem area, do we have to have an asphalt? Can we use some kind of gravel with oil packed down? Or?
It starts to erode.
Yeah, it'll
be worse than
it'll turn to mud.
Oh, yeah.
Because the gravel will push down into the wet dirt. And
well, no, they have some kind of gravel that they use an oil base and they roll it. So the rocks are stuck in the oil base, rubbery stuff, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's many, many different ways to skin a cat.
Well, one of the problems is you have to skin it using California rules,
number one.
And that's a huge issue. California asphalt doesn't even work good anymore because it shrinks so bad. That's why there's so many cracks in the roads, because it has to meet the California VOC requirements.
It's good.
Exactly. Kind of like water-based paint.
Just because it gets so hot in the UVs, everything.
Blackstone quote for $40,000 was put in a 2-inch layer of cold patch from the campground to the mailboxes. When I spoke to the gentleman there, he said, "The only thing I will guarantee you is the road will be a lot better."
Yeah.
I cannot repair everything, but I can guarantee you a good road to go on.
Well, to give you an idea, Bowman quoted $91,000 and some change to go from the mailboxes to the end of Sand Canyon. And that was 600 tons of cold patch to do that overlay, and that was in 2019. So that when things were a lot cheaper. So it's going to be considerably more than that now.
And that's when we did it with volunteers.
That was a company coming out, he said.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a company?
That was Bowman Asphalt coming out here to do it.
Oh.
600 tons of material.
Oh, but they never did it.
No, we didn't have the money. We still don't.
I wonder if we could sign up for somebody to do like maintenance, they'll be responsible for the friggin' roads.
Yeah, it's just going to cost money.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
Sometimes it takes money to make money.
But your assessments will have to go up accordingly. Yeah.
The roads look great.
The AQ, the AQMD has outlawed D&G on the roads.
Wow.
So anything you want to put dirt road, suggestions would be pea gravel on the dirt roads and things like that. So
D&G, that's
you have rules that you have to follow. The reason I got the quote from Blackstone is they came up here and gave a quote to some windmill companies to pave the road all the way up to the campground. So he knew all about my roads and didn't have to come up here, and he gave me the quote.
Yeah, and something I kind of looked at, you know, what it costs us to grade roads, to deal with dirt roads, and it's actually cheaper. You've got the upfront cost to pave them, but it's cheaper to pave roads than it is to maintain dirt roads, because the maintenance is less on the paved roads. But it's that upfront cost that's the problem. But paved roads are cheaper to maintain.
Could we split it over a period of 3 years?
So? Yeah, the problem is when you go to have an asphalt contractor come in, the smaller the job, the more it costs you per foot.
Will they do the whole thing on a payment plan?
Probably not.
I know some people did.
Yeah, I wouldn't think they would.
With a large down sometimes.
You never know. Or you can also go out and get financing.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
You can go out and get financing.
That's not what I meant, but.
I mean, the association can borrow money.
Yeah, couldn't you get a grant?
That's what I was talking about.
It's possible that the problem is trying to get a grant to repave the road. See, AQMD gives grants to get rid of dirt roads because of the dust particulates.
Right.
They're not going to give you a grant to fix an existing paved road.
Unless we say that there's asbestos and all that roofing paper.
Yeah.
You know, she was horrible. Okay, so what you guys need is a water truck then.
Yeah, water truck, because if we could operate that road,
right.
Or operate it.
A water truck or a water trailer, but a water truck would be the better solution. Yes, a water truck is something the association could definitely use.
Yeah, we've already discussed that.
Another more immediate need is the association. The association probably needs a pickup truck of some kind or some kind of utility truck to use to do road maintenance and stuff rather than people's personal vehicles, because they tend to get tore up and you've got people need to be reimbursed for their usage.
Have you ever thought about like a UTV or anything like that? I know it's a utility vehicle, and I mean, you can't drive it to town, but at least you can get places that normally.
Yeah, but the problem there is then you've got to bring fuel to it and everything else. One of the things that you're going to have to deal with the grader is, you know, if you work that thing all day, it's going to burn 100 gallons of fuel.
Yeah.
So you got to bring 100 gallons of fuel back out here to fill it up. So again, that's why you need a truck so that you can
to do all that.
Uh huh. Yep. To haul fuel back and forth and stuff. You know. Also, you know, not that we have a lot of equipment, but shovels, things like that, you need a place to keep them. Well, if you have a utility-type truck, you can keep them on the truck, and they're ready to go to work. So that's one of the more immediate needs I see the association needing to fill, is to get a vehicle for doing that, even if you're using volunteers or if you have a paid staff. You know, you need something for them to get around. Would even be in the association's best interest to look for something big enough that you could put a snowplow on it.
Absolutely. Yeah, just, I mean, could really take care of just the trouble spots and the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to plow roads. I mean, you've got the grader, but a grader does not do fine plowing. It'll move big stuff, but even that, grader's not the ideal thing for clearing snow. Because unless you're going to put chains on a grader, it's going to slip and slide all over the place.
You know what that? Different companies I work for, like the pump company, they picked up the truck from like AT&T.
Yeah.
Is there any like trucks, like snow plows, or we pick up off Caltrans?
There's actually I don't know who owned it before, but there's the auction today. There's actually a utility truck with a snow plow attachment on it at the auction today. No idea what it's going to sell for, but that's where I've been getting the water district's equipment. I just go to the auctions.
auctions in Bakersfield?
No, I usually go the ones down in Riverside.
Okay.
Yep, they got a lot more.
Just like a utility?
Yeah, the stuff in Bakersfield, what I typically see for sale there has been junk.
Okay, yeah.
Riverside tends to have a little bit better equipment and a little bit better variety.
Gotcha.
There's several auction houses down there.
And then just for reference, I mean, if, let's just say we're to do that today, you found that truck in the auction, and you're like, hey, I think that's a really good buy. How would you go about addressing it to the...
Yeah, the thing that you would need to do, first thing you got to do is start out by putting an agenda item on the agenda to approve purchasing something like that and set a dollar amount for how much you're willing to spend. Then you appoint somebody, a board member or somebody else, to be the one to go out and find it. And
based on that dollar amount.
So you would exactly.
Have to,
you need to pre-approve it.
Yeah. Okay. You've got to have two meetings at least before.
And I think we did that once to buy a truck, so that may still be a valid thing, but I'd have to go back through all the minutes to find it. So it's easier just to start over and do it. Okay. But you want to put together a dollar amount and approve the purchase prior, and then somebody can look for one. Because the auction, you have to be ready to, you know, today.
No, that's exactly what's on it.
It's like this auction that's today, payment has to be made by Wednesday, and it has to be removed, I think, by Friday. So,
that's
yeah.
How we got the grader.
Yeah.
Now, the grader we bought, I found that at a dealer. Back in...
But we
pre-approved it. Because you have to go out and find the stuff, and if you wait then for a board meeting to approve it,
you lost it.
You never, it'll be gone. Okay. So you have to pre-approve it, and then you have to find something to fit it, to fit what you approved. The Water District's truck, you know, I found the truck on Craigslist. That was a $3,500 truck, and I had the bed because I bought a truck at the auction that had a bed. And we built our own truck. Which is a viable thing too, but
you gotta have the stuff. You have it.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing about the auction is you've got to be ready to buy. And right now, stuff at the auctions is going for top dollar.
Yeah.
Jeez. Because there's a lot of money floating around still, but there's not a lot of new stuff for people to buy, so they're buying used.
Yeah.
So the auction is going for top dollar right now. When I was buying most of the stuff around here, I was buying it when the auctions were, you know, just about giving stuff away. So, but it kind of changed. But those are some of the immediate needs. A water truck, even at the auction, is going to be expensive. They always are. Water trucks are popular.
Yeah.
But I've seen them every so often. You'll see something that could be useful. You have to be careful. This is California. It has to be emissions compliant.
Yeah.
The other thing that you have to keep in mind, too, is Mountain Valley Association is not a government entity, so it's got to be registered. And in California, trucks are expensive to register.
Yeah.
So you gotta be ready for that expense. and California does not like diesel anything. So a diesel water truck, unless you're buying a 2012 or newer, you're not gonna be able to operate in the state. So it's gotta be gas engine if it's gonna be old enough to be affordable. Good luck.
What we did one year was we rented a water truck. And the cement company, we had a board member that worked there, and we got free water from the cement company. So one of our residents drove the water truck. He would water the road, then the grader that we hired would grade the road, then we would come back behind him and water it again. That is just to meet AQMD rules.
Water is a problem out here. There's not much of it. So that is an issue. The other thing that the association, if you're going to maintain dirt roads, is going to need is some kind of a roller to roll the roads, too. Because if you just grade them and you don't pack them back down, they get rutted all to hell before they get packed down.
Yeah.
So you need to be able to roll them to get them smooth. So that's another piece of equipment. And pretty soon you've got a 6-man crew out here trying to do roads, and you don't have that many volunteers that are willing to come out and do it on a regular basis. What you'll find with volunteers is you can do a little bit of maintenance here and there, but the majority of it you're still going to have to contract for.
Just to make sure it gets done.
Yeah, because we'd also thought with the grader, we could do the 2-inch overlay we were talking about. We could do that. All we would need is a roller to go along with the grader. You know, you have the trucks dump the stuff in the middle of the road, you spread it with the grader, and you roll it. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science, but you got to have a half a dozen people out there to do it.
Yeah, or moving fast.
And you got to work all day long. Yeah. So yeah, it's easier to get a crew, you know, get a hire a contractor and bring them in.
The old days was just wait for the rain, run the grader, and everything was fine.
Well, and that is one of the advantages with having our own grader. When it does rain, as soon as it starts to dry up a little bit, you can get out there and you can grade. If you're trying to get a contractor here, well, we need you here 2 days after it rains. That doesn't always fit their schedule, you know? Yep.
No, let me make sure I understand this right. The AQMD will give us a grant.
Possibly.
To get rid of dirt roads that are making dust.
Correct.
That's correct. The way it is?
Mm-hmm. Provided you have 10 residents.
Well, that isn't a problem.
On that road.
Well, some
roads. It is a problem.
Yeah, some of the roads only have 2 residents.
Their court doesn't have it. Spur Court doesn't have it.
Yeah.
This road, they might have 3, 4, 5.
Does it have to be the whole track, or can we just have part of the track?
Road by road.
That road, yeah.
On that.
That is the reason that Morgan Lane is the only one. And Morgan Lane had 9 residences,
yes.
And we used a corner residence to make it 10.
Yeah, and
we didn't tell nobody, but
those requirements change from time to time too. So you'd have to find out what the current is. But what it is that they, if somebody wants to build, like they're talking about building this center down here in Mojave, this inland port, where they're going to be bringing containers out of the harbor on rail cars out to here, and then they'll be putting them on trucks in Mojave to send to around the country. If they do something like that, when they go to permit that, they have to get air quality permits because you're going to increase truck traffic, train traffic, so those bring in emissions. So they have to pay AQMD to offset those emissions, so then AQMD goes out and finds projects in the same area to reduce emissions. That's how they come up with money for paving dirt roads.
Because
you get rid of some of these dirt roads, then you're reducing emissions while over here the truck traffic is raising them, so it evens out. That's where that money comes from.
I'm going to do a little research on this AQ.
Yep.
Yeah, contact Kevin.
East Kern.
We'll do a whole
air quality management district.
You're under the rock out there.
And they have different grants for different things for air quality.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, they'll buy you electric lawnmower too.
To mow all that English grass I have up on my mountain. To go with the rocks. Yeah,
they have lots of grants for things like that.
Yeah.
When we operated the road crew, it was just people showed up.
Yeah,
now we have to fill out forms, say that we are fit to work, and we have to show insurance before we're allowed to work on the roads. We never used to do that. It was just get together, fix it, then fine, you know. The state makes it awfully hard.
So I don't know if anybody has anything else on roads or maintenance or anything. Yeah, that's why it's limited on what you can get done. It really is. You're only going to get so much done.
That's what you learn, you know, you just keep saving for 5 years and you're going to pull out that $100,000 and say, okay, we're doing it all.
That's why we've been saving money. And, you know, we just listen to people complain, but you save money because it takes a lot to be able to do anything.
Yes. And now they're not paying their...
At the rate we're going, it would probably be another 3 or so years to have enough money to bring the contractor in and do any paving. I mean, you could do a little bit if you wanted to right now just to show that you can do something. And if you did, I would not touch anything that's not in the association. That would be my recommendation. I wouldn't spend a dime.
Send you up.
And until the roads in the association are done, I wouldn't spend a dime outside of it. And if people complain about this road, well complain to the people in 3242. It's their problem.
Yeah.
We're responsible for access, but we don't have to keep it as good as we keep our roads. We just have to make it passable. So, but yeah, if I was going to do anything, I would look into that, maybe from spur court up.
Well, that's the whole argument by itself. Do you do the access road or track road?
Until the roads in the association are done, I wouldn't touch the ones outside. Mm-hmm. If you can drive on them, they're passable.
How about that section that's not ours? You know, from Sunview to Spur Court.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't do anything until Spur Court.
But we have the intersection on Sunview.
Half the intersection.
Yeah, it has to be done. We really
well,
need that.
Only half that intersection's ours.
Oh, okay.
No, it only goes to the middle. That's as far as the association goes.
I just don't know why it's coming down. There's that part that's out, you know, that needs to be done. And we used to always do that, but
yeah.
Just to association. Did you know that not all of Sand Canyon belongs to 3312.
Almost none of it. Yeah. From Spur Court up is all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of Sunview.
Yep.
When it goes up, and then past Sunview to Spur Court belongs to whoever, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been taking care of it. But when you do the patching, I would patch 3312 first.
And so I think that what you're going to have to look at, I mean, grading, if somebody wants to volunteer to operate the grader, learn how to run it, you know, great. Or if you want to hire an operator, great. You could do some dirt roads if we ever get any rain.
How much are those schools?
I don't know.
That you mentioned out in the blue, you don't know.
No, it's just something I see in the news.
In 3312 that are capable or are... Can
none
of those, but I don't know who they are. I guess you
We have one guy, Daniel.
One more thing, Randy. One of the benefits of working on the road crew, he got more fingers than thank yous.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You wouldn't believe how people treated us working on the road.
Real appreciative, I think.
Yeah.
They drive by, and here we are, busting our butts. No. Rita's seen a bunch, I've seen a bunch, you know, and all we're doing is making the roads better.
Yeah. That's what shut down the store.
So the overall picture is that
you
would like to have track 3312 roads paved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's all. That's the main objective.
Yeah. That's about a half. Well, it was. I don't know what it is today, but you know, 2-3 years ago, you're looking at $500,000 a mile to pave a road.
Jesus.
Anybody know Tom?
Umtali was $1.5 million for 3 miles.
Jesus.
Yeah.
If you
a mile.
It's just everything's gone up since then. So like labor's gone up,
oil has gone up.
Yeah, oil.
And that's where asphalt comes from.
If you drive down to the campground, make the right, and go up Country Canyon, that was most of the complaints. The people don't know how to drive and they ripple the road, so it turns out.
Well, you've only got about four people up there.
And we spent more money working on that part of the dirt road than the other dirt roads and the track.
What we had looked at, there's a few places in the back country, what I kind of call it, but where the roads are steep, you can't keep base on them. It's, you know, every time it rains, it's going to wash it off. Those areas need to have some kind of pavement put down on them in time. That's what you need to gear towards, is putting pavement in those bad spots and then calling it good. But you know, for right now, the majority of your traffic is right here. So this is the part that everybody complains about. To do anything here, we haven't got there yet, but we also need a tractor. You know, you need a skip loader. Then you can get a load of cold patch brought up here and dumped off in one of the cul-de-sacs, and then whenever there's a weekend, you go out and get a couple scoops, you take it out there, you fill potholes, run over them a few times, and it makes it 100% better. Not perfect, but it's 100% better. That's what I would do with the roads outside of the association. Just fill potholes. Cold patch and a tractor, that's all it takes.
I'm getting a tractor soon, but...
Big tractor.
Yeah, you need something heavy, I know.
My tractor.
And the problem is everybody needs a big tractor, so those go for a premium at the auction, too. You're $30,000. Yeah. And again, the association is in California. It's got to be a California emissions compliant piece of equipment.
It's not a private owner operating list.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a private owner is only exempt as long as they're on their own property.
No, yeah.
They drive it off their property, they're no longer exempt. Yeah.
And they've made it very difficult.
And if the new board is lucky,
of course, AQMD
you'll
might
avoid
give you a grant
all the money
tractor.
On lawsuits.
Yes.
Randy has not spent a single dollar on lawyers.
Well, we spent some, but not a lot.
The board before it spent $20,000 in 2 years, in my mind, on ridiculous issues. You know. So which way do you want to go?
Yeah, basically any time they didn't want to make a decision, they called the lawyer to get the lawyer to tell them what to do.
Yeah, and that was bad.
Because they didn't want to be responsible.
And there was a huge argument about Fern.
I think that'll always be an argument.
That costs thousands and thousands.
These people when the other people moved out, and these people moved in, and we talked to them, I thought, oh, good, they're going to be good people. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're saying that's their road, and just like the ones before them. And it's not their road. It's an association.
Yeah.
But they'll block you.
I can't believe the price that you're talking about for a paved road. Like on Cutting Way, how much did that one cost to put in? It's not professionally done.
Well, no, the roads that were done for less because they were done with the experimental asphalt, things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and it's possible to find something like that.
It did help.
Well, maybe the AQMD can come up with something that we could have something.
Well, and also, I'll tell you what would help a hell of a lot if we had a water truck is simply watering these roads and putting calcium down on them. Because then that hardens them up and makes them a lot nicer than just a dirt road.
Yeah.
But,
so that's what I think these reserve study people should have it all laid out for us.
Well, they're not going to be able to do you much of that. They have to go to contractors and stuff and get ideas, too.
I need the knowledge of them to tell me how to do this.
When they...
The book smart people.
When they,
not the I've done it by my hands, myself.
What you need to do is get out and network a little. We're different than most HOAs, so going to other HOAs isn't going to help you much because most of them don't deal with roads like we do.
They'd be coming to us to say, how do you guys do it?
Now, Mountain Meadows is probably somebody that you should network with.
Their roads are really good.
They have to maintain dirt roads. That's their job, and they do that. Golden Hills. Talk to the people that run Golden Hills CSD, not their board, but the actual manager.
Yeah.
Ask them how they deal with roads and stuff. These are the people you want to network with.
Communication's free.
The people that have to deal with the roads just like us and find out how they do it.
That's
and what they've found that works. Because what works in Bakersfield may not work in Tehachapi.
Right.
You know, it's a different environment. They don't have the steep hills and stuff. In fact, Bear Valley and Stallion and Alpine Forest are the ones that have steep hills and stuff that they have to maintain. They would probably be a good resource to find out how they take care of them. Of course, all their roads are paved.
I'll tell you how Bear Valley does it. They charge you $1,800 a year for an HOA.
Right.
And then they run their trucks nonstop on two roads and they leave all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so,
you might have to do the main ones because that's where you have to put your resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might notice that posture.
Mm-hmm.
The blacktop only runs halfway.
Yeah,
there was meant to be no blacktop on Pasture, but the contractor we're working with got extra roofing shingles, so we slipped him a couple of dollars, told nobody, got as much done as we could on Pasture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was under the table deal. And then a few residents paid them to do their driveway. The shingles were cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a waste product.
Yeah, they're recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
So does that still exist? No. Well,
that, I don't know.
That's high hope.
That's what we have to look into.
Yeah, we haven't checked. Because for main roads, I wouldn't do it because it doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
But it's just for the small. For the side roads, yeah. it seems to be working pretty good.
Just to get them paved at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Potholes occurred at that point.
I know there's a pothole on Sunview that's I can't think of any of that street that breaks off. Anyway, they keep filling it either with dirt or with rock, and it doesn't seem to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gets a little bigger.
I'm getting Christmas cards from potholes. They've been there so long.
There's two projects that we were not able to do. One was on Paint Way, and if you go up the Sand Canyon and make a left on Paint Way, there was a giant ditch.
Yeah.
That's because all the water ran down the side of the road and would wear a huge ditch. The same thing on Merritt Court, but we just could not come up with the funds to get it done. All concrete washes, we've been using Oscar's concrete. He might not give you your answer when you want it, but he does the very best work.
He does good work and he's reasonable. And I'll tell you what, the big dip up there that crosses the road at an angle is miserable. But the ones that we've done that are straight across are not bad, and they're a lot better than a culvert because you don't have to clean them.
This is a dish.
Yeah.
We had a lady that lived up here, and they put that concrete thing in. Yeah, she comes doing 40-50 like she always did.
Yeah.
Bounced the head right into the roof and just exploded.
She was on the phone before she ever got out of the ditch.
We congratulated the concrete contractor.
Well, it worked out good because it's full of people.
But yeah, the concrete crossings work better than culverts because they self-clean.
Yeah.
So they are.
We did some good projects.
Yeah. And there's some places where that could be done too. You can look at. But
I know Appaloosa is really bad. Going up Appaloosa, that's one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
But for this year, it's hard to say. What you need a tractor. That's one of the things. That's probably the next piece of equipment that the association needs to buy is a tractor. Whether or not you could get by with a smaller tractor, you probably could.
Well, we did for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Scrogan's tractor.
The little green tractor.
I know in certain areas you hit.
Not work.
Most of the time, James
broke
this one.
George broke it.
Did you get scraped? Did you get rock?
Yeah, you're not going to do that with a tractor. What I'm thinking of with a tractor is you've got the grader for taking care of the dirt roads.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking of a tractor is you need a skip loader and you need a Gannon so that you can dump cold patch over potholes and take a Gannon and scrape it smooth. And then let the traffic beat it down. I wouldn't even worry about it because you don't have a roller, but you can wheel roll it a little bit with a tractor to get it started and then just scrape it over with a Gannon to smooth it and let the traffic pound it in. It works pretty well. Basically, that's what the county does nowadays, too. They just come out here with a dump truck, that's got the little chute on the back, dump it in the hole and
traffic.
Let the traffic take care of it. That's all they're doing.
Didn't we vote to get a load of blacktop?
Yeah.
I mean, that was already passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's probably what I would recommend is to get a truck and trailer full of cold patch. It's good for about a year before it hardens up so bad that you can't hardly use it. But the sooner you use it, the better. But you can get it and put it in a cul-de-sac because then whatever's left over, you spread out and you're paving the cul-de-sac.
Where's your go-to cul-de-sac to dump that?
As good as any, because paint, that's where the grader is right now.
Okay.
And there's only one driveway on that cul-de-sac.
On the left, right.
Yeah, so you can dump, fill the cul-de-sac up with stuff and Again, when you're done, the cul-de-sac is paved.
Okay.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, if you get a truck and trailer load of cold patch and get a tractor, then you could start filling in the potholes, which help people could see that right off the bat because everybody drives this road. So it's very visible, people are appreciative, and it makes the road a lot more passable. That's the most I would do with this road.
So do you have, I know you have a good idea of the other tractor prices, you know, you said $30K was for a larger one?
You're probably going to spend $20,000 to $30,000 to get a compliant tractor that you can use out here. Yeah. And that, whether it's small or big, you're going to be spending that kind of money. In fact, a bigger tractor, you're going to spend more to get a compliant.
That's half our money.
Yeah, it is.
Would that be a smart move?
Yes.
I believe yes, because you'll be able to do your patches.
Can we put in a motion?
No, because it's not on the agenda.
Gotcha.
Well, we could actually do it under one of these, you know, road maintenance, but I wouldn't. Okay. I wouldn't recommend it.
So next time, I'll probably do is make a motion.
Because it is on here. Discussion possible action on road repairs, street signs, equipment purchases, and other maintenance needs. So it is on here.
Need a motion to put the cost value of like $20K mm-hmm. to say, hey, let's have someone start searching for that.
I don't know what, let's see. Let's see if we can get an idea of the price.
Just so that you could just be able to put a value on it.
Because I haven't really looked.
For cheaper, for sure.
I know when I get to Louisiana, I got to look for a tractor.
Yeah, I know. I've been looking for one, but just the smaller, you know, one of the small Kubota ones mm-hmm. style. You know, so the brand new one runs at $10,000 to $12,000.
You don't have to have a brand new one.
No, I know. So, I mean, that's where.
You just have to make sure.
But that's a small one, so that's kind of like, it would work on my farm, but not for, you know, a road. So where's the medium, you know, happy medium?
Getting the roads is not really the big thing. The thing of it is following all these rules that come.
That's
the hard pass.
Yeah.
But patchwork would be real. To get started doing
just
patchwork,
to start doing those things.
Especially in 3312. I know Randy's talking about down here, but get our patchwork done.
Yeah,
we can see it.
And then they'll say, okay, we feel comfortable.
Then they'll say, okay, well, our money, you know, they got money. Where's the money going? Because nope, we haven't had anything done.
Yeah, and they don't understand when you tell them it's going in the bank.
And stuff like that, like small stuff, like you know, the excavator. That's going to be hard to get into the back of a trailer, right? Yeah. But like a tractor, where it's like it could get pulled into a trailer, do you leave that at someone's house, or do you just park that in a cul-de-sac? Because like,
that's probably
I could pull small.
Yeah.
I want that thing in behind a gate because I don't want to feel responsible for that thing getting taken by it. You know, what
happened. That's why we had the grader in our yard. And
okay.
I wanted it out of our yard because I'm not on the board anymore.
Yeah, understood. Okay.
Yeah, but where it is it's safe. It's,
that thing's a little different, but a smaller tractor. You know, I could pull it up on my winch on a trailer and be out of here in 30 minutes. You know.
Yeah, that's always an issue.
The only problem we ever had with the concrete washers. Every time we put one down, it doesn't rain for a few years and nobody gets to see it work.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Okay, a Kubota 26 horsepower, so that's not a huge machine, is $47,000 at Birchtold.
Yeah, that's not enough horsepower. I got a 27. You need 35 or 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a small tractor.
Yeah.
Randy's tractor seemed to be ideal.
Oh, Randy's perfect.
That's probably
new, it's $100,000.
Yeah. But you go, you know, financing for.
That makes sense, yeah. And they have those smaller payments over a 5-year period. I'm not going to commit to that yet. I don't sound too smart in my eyes, so.
Let's see if they've got anything else.
You might even consider a renting a tractor.
For did though. I mean, it's just so it costs so much money, like $3K just to get that thing here for a week.
Yeah.
You know, a decent sized one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's renting equipment now is expensive. The move in and out kills you. Yeah, there's not a whole lot for sale. Birchtold, that's the only tractor they have. Kern Machinery didn't have anything except ag.
But like you said, Randy, the option.
Yeah, it was just getting that value.
Well, there isn't much there.
No?
No.
I went to Texas to my tractor.
Not emissions, though. That's the thing. So when you bring it back,
I'll bring it back and
yeah.
Let's see.
So for us,
15 years ago.
Okay.
My little green tractor is just not big enough.
Big enough to do it, yeah.
Right?
We don't know of anybody that's gotten AQMD grant.
Anyone?
The air quality management. Has anybody gotten a grant in this area that we know of?
No.
How would I look for the records? I look for the records.
Well, we're the only people I know.